Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. I love this. I'm so doing it on the fly. I haven't even had a chance to think about the intro to this week's episode. Ringo, exactly. You cheeky fuck. Unbelievable. He just saw that I started talking. Tony, he's not even making eye contact with me. So I'm in my daughter's other house, her mom's house, but I have a chair here and it's my chair. And he just saw me starting to talk on the phone here. And what he's done is he just climbed up into my chair, and I was like, I don't generally mind him being in my chair, but he kind of just did it in front of me, which I thought was rude. At least wait for me to leave the room, because I was going to move and maybe sit in that chair in a second ago. But anyway, he's gone off in a ball now and he won't look at me. I feel bad now. Hold on a sec. Here. Yeah, come here. Come here. Yes, come here. Oh, Lord. Come here. Come on, you're ruining the intro to this podcast. Come here. Oh, for fuck's sake. You can go up here then. Come on. Up, up. Yeah. Come on, hop. Yes. There you go. See? Say hello to everybody here. Give me a kiss. They can't hear that. No, there's nobody. Okay, I'm distracted. Sorry. Anyway, he's on the chair. Thank you very much to everybody for your lovely messages for last week's podcast with Sinead. Delighted you enjoyed it. I'm delighted that everyone's getting so much buzz out of it. I'm delighted to just have comedians on and having a bit of crack. I think that's the joy of making the podcast. And that's the way it's going to be in future. So I love that you love the style of the podcast so far. So thank you so much for all the messages. Do continue to share and continue to tell other people about it and continue to get the old listenership upage. I would be ever so grateful. Give the old 5-star ratings, etc., etc. Now, as those of you who are the Mega Mullen fans, that's the term that I've heard, Kevin Larney. Comedian Kevin Larney, who opened for me in Dolan's this weekend, and he's done a good few of my tour shows, this tour and last tour. Kevin Larney came up with that description when he opened for me in Limerick. He came off the stage and I was waiting up there in the green room, and I said, how would you get on? He was like, yeah, it was all right, but I can definitely sense that there's a few Mega Mullen fans up the front. They're not interested in me, he said. So, those of you who are the Mega Mullen fans or just the Hello Steve-O podcast fans, you already know the news. Those of you who have signed up to the mailing list have already got access to the tickets as I'm recording this. But by the time this comes out, the tickets will be on general sale. I am delighted to say that the Dublin show of my tour, the Dublin part of my show, is finally happening. As you know, the Liberty Hall show was quote unquote rescheduled, but it was cancelled, and it was a tough one for me to take. I've often said that I would kind of get into more detail about it, but as much as I can, but I'll tell you a bit about it now. Basically, the tour last year, which was called Ouch, went really, really well. It was fantastic. With regards as a comedian, obviously you're just trying to make a living, so you try to grow and you try to do better business and move into bigger rooms, etc., etc. And this year, the tour in general on that front, business-wise, has been challenging. It's been tough. And we did kind of go to expand the tour on last year, so doing more venues and doubling up in some of the rooms that we would have traditionally only done one show in. And it's been tough. I think part of it is timing, and it's very competitive out there. Like, there's There's double the amount of people that were out touring last year, and lots of people who've never toured before are out touring, and lots of people who are big in social media are touring, and taking all the fucking tickets. No, I'm joking. Calm down. Let there be love. But it has made it really tough. Like Portlaoise, for example. I love Portlaoise. PJ, who runs Cavanaugh's, is an absolute gentleman to me and really looks after me. And last year, we had an absolute killer of a show in Portlaoise. But this year, it was super challenging because Tommy Tiernan was literally on in that room the night before. And he was only trying out new stuff. So he sold all them tickets. The two nights before that, Dear Joe Kane was in town. A week before that, Jason Byrne was in town. And 2 weeks before that, Neil Delamere was in town. And as PJ said to me, it's a small town. Usually we're used to one show coming through, maybe two shows a month. But before, and mine was in the middle of the Patrick's weekend and another bank and Easter weekend. It was just a brutal, brutal, brutal time for me to try to sell tickets. So, it's been tough. It's been tough. And that all coupled with the fact that it was a great opportunity for me to move up to Liberty Hall, which is a bigger room. And considering that I sold two Dublin shows last year, we thought it's a totally natural move to move up to a bigger room. Turns out that who knows exactly, but without saying anything, I will say that sometimes in life you end up thinking that you have a maybe a decent working relationship with people, or maybe sometimes you take it for granted that somebody's going to help you out, or you take for granted that someone's going to, shall we say, not help you out, just do their job. But basically, the decision was made. I made the decision. Nobody else made that decision. I pulled that show. I said, I'm not doing that show. And I said, I'm going to do it on my own now. I'm going to go back to the way I did it last year and do it on my own because I'm not relying on other people. And blah, listen, it wasn't an easy call to make. My fantastic and wonderful team around me were brilliant working with me to try and to deal with the situation. But in reality, I wasn't happy with a lot of things that went on that I personally didn't have to deal with, but the great people at work for me do have to deal with. And I was like, no, I'll do it on my own again with my team. That's as much as I can say without saying anything, really. But obviously, it wasn't easy, you know. But I'm kind of glad I made the call. But it does mean that I did put another Dublin show on. I'm sorry for the people that I let down on the original date, but now the new date is up. And there's 2 months before the show comes. And sometimes when you go through a bit of adversity, and you really feel that the chips are down, which I have felt, to be quite honest, in the last couple of months, and you really feel like, I don't feel like shit, but there's definitely, like, I'm pretty tough, you know, in order to even continue doing what I do all the time. You've got to have some kind of resilience. But I did have 2 days last week where I was like, what am I doing? You know, like the whole giving it up kind of a vibe, which I think it's important to listen. Like if those feelings are there, I feel genuinely that I have to listen to that and I have to figure a way out of it. And if I really listen to the pain of that, it's like, okay, so why do you want to stop doing it? Or why are you zero motivation? Or why are you not looking forward to it? And those are really good, genuine questions to ask yourself when you're in tricky places in your life, and I think they were they were good questions to ask myself, and I got answers, and I'm good. I learned that from doing, I did a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy last year, and I learned from that by listening to the pain, and it doesn't mean it's not painful, it's still bloody painful, but by listening to it I get answers, and I know I came out hard and strong after a couple of days of feeling pretty low, but listening to the pain, the answers were that I know I need to be creative. I know I need to make stuff. And I'm feeling pretty lonely. And so I know how to change things around so that I can work with other people and just spend time with people a bit more. Now, the great part of that was that I ended up writing this sketch and the sketch getting made where I got to work with other actors and another film director, which was a bloody brilliant day. So that'll be coming out on social media soon. I hope you really enjoy it. And I'm going to start writing a few more sketches so that I can work with other people, but keep you guys entertained as well. But I really have a goal now with this Dublin show that's gone on sale, the link to which will be in your podcast right now in the details of your podcast. You should be able to click on a link and it'll bring you straight to buy tickets for the Dublin show. I'm determined to not only sell the show out, to sell it out quickly, to show, not just myself, but to show. And I know it's a tough time and we ain't got a lot of money, but I kept my ticket prices low. Even when other people are putting them up, I try to make those as much as I can, you know, make those little concessions. And listen, I get it. Some people just can't. And end of story, that's fine. Not only is it money to buy a ticket to a comedy show, to go to a bloody night out, then you got to pay for your babysitter, or you got to, you know, it costs a lot more, your drinks, etc. So it's not just the price of the ticket. I get that. I appreciate that. But I would love for you to come to laugh, because regardless of all this difficulty that I've been going through in the last few months, it's a bloody good show. And even at the depths of the feeling low that I was feeling last week, at no point did I question whether it was a good show or not. So that's good, you know. I'm very proud of the show, and it's great. So I'd be really excited for you to see it. But all of you who came last year, I'd love to see you again. All of you that already bought tickets to that Liberty Hall show, I'd love to have you back again this year at the Workman's on June the 6th, and to sell it out as quick as I can, because it's just the little bump, the little kick in the hole, the little woo that I need, you know. But anyway, I do genuinely thank you to all the very small but very core and very loyal following that are out there that follow me. I'm very grateful grateful to you all for this continued support. I'm glad you listen to this podcast, and I'm glad you're sharing my reels and liking the reels and all that kind of stuff. It's just all these little bits and pieces help to get out there so that I can continue to do what I do. Thank you to everybody in Limerick. Limerick City! A really lovely show, and great to hang around afterwards and to chat to you and have the crack. Thank you so much for all your kind words, and even to the people in Limerick who couldn't make it, for all the lovely messages that you sent. Thank you so much for coming. This coming weekend, it's Clonakilty. Basically, the tickets to the Dublin show and to the Clonakilty show and all my tour shows are available on thestephenmullen.com. And you can get a link to it here in the description of this podcast. If you want to come to Clonakilty, I'd love to see you there. And that's it. That's the news, basically. Thank you for listening. I hope you're happy that there is some sort of an explanation as to what happened with the Liberty Hall show. But we move on. At the end of the day, David McSavage, of all people, some people think he's Jesus. He's a mad angry fecker. He said the kindest thing to me there recently. He asked me, "How was your Liberty Hall show?" And I said, "Oh, I had to pull it, Dave." And he said, "Jesus, I'm sorry to hear that." But then he said, "But sure, what else are we going to do? You're not going to give up, are you?" And I was like, "No, sure, that's it. This is it now, isn't it?" And he's like, "Exactly. So who gives a fuck?" So he's right. And I hope if you're having an old shitty old day today, or whenever you're listening to this podcast, that that can give you a little bit of encouragement to just go, sometimes we can just think way too much about these things and realise that there's way more difficult things going on in the world. And work is just work. Just put one foot in front of the other and enjoy it. You can choose to enjoy it or not. So there's definitely way more difficult things going on in the world. Like, you know, wars, it feels like, everywhere. Not my comedy show where I continuously say for ages, "Do you like that, do you? Do you like that?" You've got a fantastic episode of Hello Steve-O Podcast coming up right now with the wonderful Keith Fox. We talk everything from the idea of United Ireland, people who whinge about their kids, and sitting, would you believe it or not? That's right. It's all here on Hello Steve-O Podcast. Thank you for supporting the show. Let us do this!
The change of filthy animals. Ladies and gentlemen, you are very welcome back to another episode of Hello Steve-O Podcast with my special mate, friend, comedian, the one and only Keith Fox. How are we doing, bro?
Hello, Steve-O. Very good.
We are on a couch and we are sitting, which is the number one topic of conversation today.
It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It's a big one.
Because we do it a lot.
We do it a lot. Too much. That's the news just in. Yeah, so this is the... I was looking at the news the other day and it's not good.
No, it's
not. A lot of it's not good.
No. It's not good. I think... I saw a guy on social media who's... he said he's... What's he call it? He's clean 10 years of... clean 10 years news sober.
What does that mean?
He doesn't watch the news. He hasn't done it
news,
for 10 years.
So I just news said news sober. Sober.
Sorry, yeah.
Like, I did, like, he... Okay, been on and off the wagon. Yeah. And this is...
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's a good idea. But anyway.
Yeah, but it's kind of impossible. We're having this... I was having this exact chat. Because... Social media stories are news now. Like, if you have anyone, if you're connected to anyone on socials, their updates are news. It is on news. So it's very, very hard. Fair play to them. That's a tough one. But I'd be scrolling through, trying to keep updated, but keep a bit of distance from it for the old noggin. And then towards the bottom, I just find this funny. The news will batter us on how bad the world is. Like, it's from every angle. And how bad the future looks.
Yeah.
And how bad the past was. It's not great.
In particular, I find, like, Irish news. I think it's an old trope even in comedy. But Irish, I find, the specific, I don't want to name names, but I listen to radio a lot. There's specific presenters that are like trying to make it, that's even worse than it is. And things are bad, but they're not this bad. You know, that's an old, I think it was Tommy Jern did a bit in that. Like, but especially Irish news, they feel like it's not news unless we've made it sound like the worst thing ever.
Absolutely, yeah. Mine it for misery. Yeah. And then see how can we, it's not news till there's misery in it. Like, yeah. That's the meetings there.
Yeah.
There's like a miserable meter behind them. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so you'd be scrolling, and I don't know, do you find this, but like there's a lot of times where it is that misery, it is this thing, and it's like why the world is crap. And then they give out to us at an individual level for just trying to escape that a little bit. So you'll get this article, like it's like 50% of the population are eating too much cake, 30% of the population are gambling too much. You're going, we're trying to escape the world you've just presented to us, go easy.
This is deep. Yes.
This is deep. But then, so that's the trend. I'm used to the trend. But the other day, I'm scrolling, and then this article comes up on RTE, and it's like, why sitting is bad for your health.
It's never going to stop.
We've just hit. It's like, if you've been sitting while reading about all this horrible news, you're going to die from that. You're in worse shape than you thought.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what you think. I just think it's like, come on. Are we going to that level? Sitting is the concern?
Yeah, I don't think it is a concern, but there's a few things at play there, in my opinion. A, the amount, and I think everybody subconsciously knows this, but we don't talk about it enough, is that everybody is dying for content. Everybody has to create content these days. Down to like some of like the top, like some of the top writers in the country, opinion pieces in prestigious newspapers and stuff. Some of the shite that they come out with. Like they're under pressure to write 7 articles a week that have supposed to have some sort of deep meaning to them. And it's like, you can't keep the quality up. You can't keep the quality up. Yeah. But so there's that definitely at play. But also, is this the way capitalism works? In that if they're pointing out the weakness that it is that you have, then they end up set, like they sell you a solution to the problem that they tell you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sitting thing, there's been all sorts of chairs that have been going out during the years, haven't they? You must have had a few of them.
I've had a few. I've had a few chairs in my time. I've been through a few cushions. But I have. And in it, they were talking about standing desks and all this. But even in the article, which I did read, it's even within it, like, but there's some evidence to suggest the other, like that exercise can you know, so that you can exercise your way through the badness of sitting for 10 hours in a day. But then some say you can't. Even you don't even know the point you're making in the article. Yeah. Sitting is bad. We should stand more. We don't need that information.
Here's the thing that I think that we need more of in life. And I think everybody should take this. Because I did in lockdown, when I did the Trinity Access Program, which was a mature student's course to kind of give you a 1-year thing to get you into a degree course eventually after. But we did statistics class, right? Which on paper, I just think of maths and I'm like, I can't, numbers and all that, I cannot stand it. But statistics actually, and to be fair to the teacher, she said it's the way that you teach it, but also if statistics is way closer to nearly philosophy than you actually think, because every one of these articles. Now that I have done a statistics class, I read something like that article that says about as a recent survey says, who did the survey? That's what I want to know straight away. Who did the survey? Yeah. And also, because when you say a survey said, I could have gone around the people on my road and asked them and then written that thing. And that's a survey, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then what are the statistics? I want to see exactly what the statistics are. And then, for example, there's three different, when someone says the average person, there's three different types of average. All and right. they can be very different numbers. You've got the mode, the medium, and the...
mean.
Yes, thank you, Keith. And mean is the one that we generally know, because mean is the one where, what's the average age of this class? You'd add up all the ages and divide it by the number of people in the class, and that would give you the mean. But the median is a very different thing. It's you look at, you get all the different numbers, and you have to find the, they can be close enough to each other. But then the mode is just, I can't remember how that's done, but like one age can throw out the mode. Okay. And throw it really far in one direction. So if you've got a class of 25-year-olds and one 78-year-old, the 78-year-old can bring the average like into a much different direction.
So is that the youngest and the oldest within the group, and then you find this?
Yeah, yeah, and the mode within that can be... Anyway, whatever. I'm not explaining it very well, but it's definitely... There's three different types of... so then you're looking at kind of go, when someone says the average, okay, what I want to know what average you're talking about. But then also within this, that was the first thing we did in a statistics class was, this is great, Craig. The first thing we did in a statistics class was learning how surveys are done.
Yeah.
So if you survey 50 people in Grafton Street about their favourite car or the price of cars versus 100 people in... I don't know, Henry Street, that's a very different demographic of person that goes to those different places and all that stuff. So this, like, I'm always shocked at, like, you go and read those surveys for yourself, and you'll get very different answers, and you'll have very different.
But that, this is a side, but that's a there's a big one as a plant based person.
Good
have
man.
To bring it up at every possible interval. That's the one of the whole big things, and it's exactly what you're talking about, is about soy and it giving men boobs and stuff like that. That the soy
is that
consumption. No, it's not a thing.
But
it's the argument
that's give men boobs without soy.
But it's exactly it's the argument that's thrown out all the time.
Yeah.
Soy will give men boobs, and I've just said boobs an awful lot. I haven't said that since I've been 12.
Boobs,
it's been
an
interesting moment.
It's a great word, boobs.
It is a good one. But apparently the whole thing about that was that it was like some one case in like the 60s where someone. A fella only consumed soy or something like that.
Yes.
It was like 12
litres
of it a day, soy milk and stuff. And then the side effects to that. And they're like, well, and a 50 or 60 years on, people are like, yeah, well.
But also, there's plenty of men that we all know in our lives, especially in Ireland, that have boobs from, well, it's not soy.
One of them on this very couch.
Yeah, what?
One of them on this very couch.
You do not.
Don't be looking.
I want to see a bit of foxy cleavage, but you get boobs from pinting. Like,
yeah,
come on,
it. That's it. Yeah, and from sitting.
It's just from sitting. Anyone out there who wants to grow a nice pair of boobs, sit
but
down.
It's a good point you make, though. Who's behind that study? I didn't check that much. Like maybe footwear companies.
Mm. Exactly.
All over.
Well, I mean, it's blatant in the US. This kind of blatant, all these surveys and all that stuff that happened in the US. But here in the news all the time, we constantly on radio hear a lot. We constantly hear in a recent survey, and we never hear who did the survey, what was the sample population, how many people were surveyed. Because you can write an article on, like, I talked to 5 people. That's my survey.
And that was the thing. It was very popular, I think, in the noughties on papers. It was always cancer. Was always the one. It was like. Eggs give you cancer. It was because, like, they asked 5 people that had cancer, did you ever eat an egg? And they're like,
exactly.
This is a study.
That's the way that they can spin that narrative.
Then the following week, it was like, avocados cure cancer. And it was the same thing. It was just this whole bouncer. I wonder, was this lad, guy, because you're right, what you're saying, because they have a quota, like, they have a deadline. They have like 7 articles a week, or whatever. You know, this fella got a bollocking from sitting on his arse all week. Sitting's doing nothing for your career.
Yeah,
and he's
going,
that'll do.
Yeah.
And he's like, sitting is bad for you. And then that's, he googled it and just found the nearest study he could. Just get some content
absolute.
Up. Throw it together.
Do you find it in your life that it's changed? Did you try to change up your sitting thing? Because I think we all have stiff enough hips because we're sitting too much.
Yeah. Well, I have a crap hip. I have a fake hip. So
You actually had hip surgery, didn't you?
I had
hip replacement.
Yeah. So I get up. But even outside of that, the only sitting that I'm offended by is when a comedian sits on a stool on stage. That will give me...
Yeah.
That'll hurt me deep. That gives me pain.
Because it's stand-up comedy. Literally,
it's stand-up comedy.
It's
and that's
stand-up.
And that's the pint stool.
Yeah.
my pint is going to go on that after your arse. Have a bit of respect.
That's why you're offended.
That's it.
If you're sitting on a stool, where's the poor pint going to sit?
Yeah.
You're right.
I don't like the whole look of it. But I don't know, maybe it'd be similar to yourself though. With actual just normal run-of-the-mill sitting, it's boredom. I get up, like, I can't sit still for, barring an eve now, but during the day, 20 minutes and I'm up and I have to go somewhere and just prod at something or look around something.
Funnily enough, this is gas to finish off this section. I actually had to go to a chiropractor and get all sorts of stuff done because in the middle of the statistics exam, I got a bad back from sitting for so long and being crouched over trying to figure out all these numbers, which I got a distinction in, but like I busted me back.
There you go.
Sitting and statistics, bad for your back.
Just in.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One of the things that Keith and I have spoken recently about being on the road, because we're both fathers, but we had this on the conversation, I think, from on the way to Belfast, I think, which you, I love the way you agree sometimes. You don't say anything, you go, like that's like a real silent
here now.
Yeah,
yeah. Listen, Jeff, or when you're driving,
because I'll be ranty about something and you'll be like Yes. But one thing that we have in common, which I don't talk a huge amount about parenting and having a kid on stage, but I found the main thing that it was difficult, why it was difficult to talk about it, was that I love being a dad.
Yeah.
So in comedy in general, you have to be struggling with something in order to try and make it funny. But it's true. I mean, I have the odd bit where my daughter gets the one up on me, which pretty much happens on a daily basis. But the thing that we spoke about on the road was people complaining about their kids a lot. And I've personally, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I understand there's tough times in parenting, etc., etc. But I've no time for people who give out about their kids. No.
This is one of them things we got quite heated while agreeing.
Yeah, we angrily agreed.
If you're driving to the way,
fast. I love my kid.
If you're driving to the way, you got they're having a proper Barney in that one. Yeah, you're like, I love my kid.
We're agreeing. We're very happy here. Thank you very much, Garda.
Yeah, I do agree. I think on the first thing, there is a default, right? Because so your kids are a constant. Like, so I'm tired today.
Yeah.
It's because I have a 1-year-old who's up. So it is on my mind. If you ask me how I am.
Who's obsessed with you, by the way.
Obsessed with me. I don't get it.
I wish I had that. Like, she's obsessed with you.
Yeah. It was.
Does she prefer you to mommy, like?
No. That's, it's phasing out now. Can't say that. We'll Patreon that one. Yeah, no. So there was a phase. So with our, we've two kids. First, a son, all over mammy. Absolutely love mammy. And now our daughter, just for a run of months now, is just all over me. It's just, it's going back the other way now.
Right.
But at night time, it's just, it'll be daddy, screaming. So I've, it's been interrupted sleep for that. So when someone says, how are you? There's a chance I'm going to be tired. And by default, you'll go, kids, set me up again, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm all good with that. Yeah. And then I try to snap out of it because I'm like, how boring is that for people to meet you regularly? Yeah, that's all you say.
Yeah, but you also, you don't complain about the individual. You're always kind of going, and it's generally because she wasn't well or something like that. Yeah, so something genuine.
And
that's it.
And then, but, in, was, but what you were talking about more was the other way, that people are just kind of constant, just, it's almost like picking on their kids.
I really don't get
that whatsoever.
I don't get the whole, it seems to be, now, is it a default thing that we like in Ireland, we definitely have, let's be honest about it, we definitely have, like sometimes the way to have chat is to complain.
Yeah.
Because if you were to turn around and kind of go, geez, I'm great, life is going great, you'd be going, look at this prick.
Yeah, that's it.
Going on about his happy life. But I do find it a default with it's not everybody, it's just I've noticed with some people that maybe it's the default that they think it's within the realms of trying to be cool to give out about your kids. Yeah. Because I definitely have a strong feeling like when they're going on like that, to kind of go, well, don't have them. Give them away, whatever, like, you know what I mean? And obviously it's, you know, different circumstances for different people. But if they're there and they're in your life, it's just like, to me, again, maybe I'm completely biased, but it's the best thing that's ever happened in my life.
Same. And the other thing about it is, I'd always like to, if I say something, I'd love to be able to back it up to the part, like if my children ever heard me, what I might have said about them, I would hate to have said something that I can't walk back. Or it, like, the, yeah. I'm tired because I was up four times last night with a screaming one-year-old. I'll back that one up.
But just
to randomly just kind of, oh, my kid's an idiot, or my kid's an idiot, or I'm sick of having the kids, I had to feed them last night, I didn't eat their meal. That kind of thing.
I get that sometimes parents need the night off or they finally get the night off. But there's this kind of like, oh, I don't have to have those fucking kids is the vibe. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm not into it. It feels really mean.
Yeah, it really does.
Because
they're
just little people, they're kids.
Yes.
Or people are like, kids are so fucking annoying. It's just like, where did you come from?
Exactly.
Someone put up with your shit for years. I love that. And that's another thing, people can't stand kids or whatever. It's just like, well, like, you only exist because somebody put up with you.
That's it. Yeah, you know? 100%. 100%. And I love it too. It always comes up with travel. It's the one all the time.
People talk about the plane, yeah.
People talk about the plane. I'm neurotic. Like, I think misophony, probably the word.
Yeah.
Any noise is throwing me.
No,
and
me
and
too.
It's
people chewing.
All that sort of stuff. Like, all that stuff. I'll have earphones on, there'll be nothing going into them. It is just because, and I get that's me.
I fully get that's me.
But, like, kids talk about, I think it's overdone. I don't want to be beside a screaming baby on a plane myself.
Of course.
Right? I own her. I'm kind of obliged. They make you sit near them. So, but I do get it, right? But at the same time, I've never heard of a plane being grounded in London because a child got upset they were being refused service.
Yeah.
I've been beside stags where there's been fights. I've been the guy just having in and out for a slash because I've had six pints. Like, I've been obnoxious on planes.
Yeah.
Over the age of 18.
That's a brilliant point.
Thank you very
There's
much.
Probably way more annoying people on planes, adults on planes, than there is any kid ever.
Out loud with the broadsheet, elbow guardians here, elbow rest guardians in the middle, all that sort of stuff. It's never a 3-year-old.
Elbow rest people, or people taking off their smelly shoes, or like, oh, there's so much stuff, or people like, I've woken up on long haul flights with somebody asleep on my shoulder, do you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And kids are, And we did talk about the same thing that happens, that I was sitting next to a toddler on a plane for 4 hours there. I think it was October or something like that, a couple, and I could feel the tension that they were under because they were worried that their child was going to cry or their child was going to make too much noise, or they were worried to upset me. And the thing I did from early on was to make eye contact with the child on some level, or if it's looking at me, just to smile and go, hey, how are you? Just to let them know it's okay. And then just ask them the few basics of like, how old is he or whatever, he's gorgeous, he's cute, blah, blah. Because people with kids now are tense going out there in the world with their kids because they're worried about what other people are going to think about them.
100%. I've had that. We were stuck on a flight home from Portugal ages back. Hours there, like, wait, we had to be rerouted and all this sort of stuff. And I was carrying our daughter. She was very young at the time. And I could feel my tension rubbing off on her. Like, I could feel that I was like, I was kind of uneasy, and so she'd cry a little. I'm like, it's okay, like yeah, terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And but then the two people in front, they did just kind of turn around. The man started jangling his keys, and turned into a distractor. That woke her up even more. But he tried.
Yeah.
Didn't help. But they did. They did. They turned around. They just gave that little nod, going again, same as you're saying.
Yeah.
And immediately your stress just goes. Like it really, like it just went. And then we were just kind of chilling. We're not annoying that many people. Again, you're just disrupting people, but you're dead right. You get on that plane, kind of going, here we go. I'm like, these people around me are, they don't want me here.
I think in general, we just need to make it to be kind of a bit more. It's not cool to have kids at the moment, or something like that. Or is it? There's definitely a tension there that it's like it's tough. Times are tough at the moment.
Yeah.
It's expensive. They're not cheap. They're not as expensive as you think, though. I think. I don't know. I was shocked by, like, for the first, I think, few years of my daughter's life, we never bought her clothes. And it wasn't that we were ever stuck and we were asking people around. We had excess of clothes, yeah, giving them away because people were so kind.
Yeah.
Like, people come out of the woodwork because they love a child. I've had neighbours that live in the area who you didn't necessarily get along with. And then you have the kid. It's just like, and they'll do anything for your kid. They will do anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, I don't think that's pricey. And then some of the stuff, I have a few mates now who are having their first child soon enough. And I'll never really lean in with advice without, like, you know, because it's an advice zone. You're having a kid, everyone comes out with advice.
Yeah,
it's helpful. So I just don't add to that noise. Yeah. But if ever the conversation goes that route, part of it for me will be, don't buy anything that you, like, buy the few bits so that on the first few days you're not that stuck.
And yeah.
Like, have a bed for them or whatever. But otherwise, it does, that kind of just looks after itself quite a bit.
Do you ever meet those people that have, like, too much money and they spend a fortune on stuff? That's like, that's the only good bit of advice I got when I was working in a restaurant in London, and my daughter was on the way, and there was a couple of other guys were having babies at the same time, and one guy spent $1,000 on a buggy because you could just, like, you could literally move it around with your index finger. It was so, like, smooth or whatever like that. And I remember kind of sweating, going, oh my God, where am I going to get that money? My head just naturally went to, where am I going to get that money? And the other lad who had a 7-year-old, he said, mate, you think your baby gives a fuck what's been pushed around in? It's like so true. Because by the time that the baby can even have the consciousness that it's in a buggy, it's going to stop using it.
Yeah, 100%. When we were pregnant with our first, one of my mates said to me, we're going into the buggy purchase. And my mate said, we're going into one of them big chains store thingies. And he said, look, they're preying on the emotion and the hormone of this situation.
Yeah.
Just keep your eye out for it.
Especially if it's your first.
That's it, 100%. And they spot you a mile. Like, you're coming in, you're clearly like, they're going to, here we go, look, here we go.
It's their first.
That's bonus. It, loved it.
Christmas bonus.
Who's taking them? Whose turn? Whose turn for the bonus? 100%, you can see us a mile off. But it did actually happen. We didn't fall much because we had that kind of thing included. We realised after the basic buggy, the rest of the features are for you. It's a coffee cup holder. Here's for your iPad. Yeah. It's like, what do you think I'm doing with this kid?
That's true.
But there was next few times we went in, and I did hear them doing it. And I was raging because there was a next to you bed that they sleep in for the first 6 months. Yeah. If someone told me that, would have saved us a bit. But yeah, into the first. And then this very early days pregnancy couple were chatting, and you kind of just hear, and it's all a bit loud in the shop. So the woman, the selling them the thing, just said, give all the pitch, and then just goes, they're like, okay, we might leave, we're going to come back. Thanks to me for that, that's brilliant. We might come back. And she, when are you due? And I remember them going, four months left. You won't want to be leaving this that late now because you're kind of in that zone, you could go any minute. I'm going, what?
That's outrageous.
Are you doing a hard sell on a next to you? I slept in a drawer when I was
born. You wouldn't want to leave it too late. 4 months to go.
I know. But you know, in the moment, you're just kind of looking around going, is this what's happening?
They've just about had the scan where they can find out what sex is.
It's it, like. But I remember, and it was thanking my mates. So it's the bit of advice I've given everyone going into that exact situation. I'd love to see the CCTV of that, me just going, in the back, just absolutely.
And your wife pulling it away. Leave it, Keith. Leave it.
Just not again. Not again.
Well, we'd love to hear how you feel about kids and.
Would we, though?
Would we? I don't know. Well, no. Well, if you do invert a comma, because it's like people say, I hate kids. You know the whole thing that I hate kids.
Yeah.
I'm never having kids. I always go, good.
Yeah.
We don't need more of you in the world.
Yeah, 100%.
But there's no comment. This won't be on YouTube, so you can, you know, hit us up. Hit the comments up. And what is it? One Keith Fox on Instagram or Steve?
Keith Fox was taken by a magician.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. There's a rapper called Keith Fox and a magician.
A rapper. Where's he from?
I think it was LA.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was love it. And you're from, I wouldn't be a rapper from, he's from Offaly as well.
Yeah.
Okay, while we are recording this, mm-hmm. this is what has just come out in the last 24 hours. So this might go for a couple of weeks, but it's definitely still relevant because it's a conversation that is going to be going on for years, I think. There's been a lot of conversation about the idea of United Ireland. Now, I realise, by the way, people are listening in the US, people, even in the UK, even though Northern Ireland is part of the UK, won't understand the politics going on with the United Ireland thing. How would you explain it while I find the post that came
How
up?
Would I explain it?
How would you explain?
How long is this set,
the separate, how would you explain, very briefly,
fourscore and 20
the situation that is going on this tiny island, there's actually two countries.
Yes, six counties currently under the leadership of the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then the 26 counties of the Republic of Ireland. And there's a continued dialogue that we should be united under one governance and under the rule of the Republic of Ireland.
Now, the reason that this happened was that originally the whole of, as part of, you know, British colonialism, when they, at one stage in the British Empire, the sun never set on the British Empire. They owned that much of the world. But Ireland was part of one of the British colonies. And then eventually Ireland got independence in 1922. And then... but as part of the deal, we were only given back 26 counties on the island of Ireland, and the UK, Britain, were going to keep the six counties at the top, which became Northern Ireland. So, and then obviously throughout the 60s and 70s and all that, there was a lot of what was called the Troubles, a lot of terrorist organisations and fighting and blah, blah, blah. And then finally there became peace in the Good Friday Agreement was 98.
Around then.
Yep, 97. I'm pretty sure it was 1998. The Good Friday Agreement, when the fighting officially stopped and we all started to get along a little bit better on the island. Since then, it's obviously been certain people's prerogative to have a united Ireland to get back those six counties to be part of the Republic or whatever.
You explained it a lot better
there. Well, anyway. But... it's come out recently in a survey. No, in a study. It was a study. It was another study. Which, I mean, to be fair, like, this is... Who knows what the propaganda... Well, so there's definitely a bit of people pushing their own narrative on this. But in a recent study, they're saying that the changeover... Like, because it's now becoming quite the topic of conversation all around the country, that it feels like a United Ireland is coming closer and closer. Mostly because Brexit happened and because Britain left the EU, it's made things very complicated. So it's actually easier for everybody in Northern Ireland and Ireland just to be one country. So that's a big reason as to why the push has happened. But in a recent study, they said that a United Ireland would cost the country 20 billion per year. A United Ireland could cost up to 20 billion a year. See, that's already, it could cost. Mm-hmm. It could cost 1 billion. Could cost up to 20 billion a year for 20 years, according to a new report. The study also said that these costs would result in an immediate major reduction in living standards. It also said that unification would require a rise in taxation of about 25%, as if it's not bad enough, as well as a significant reduction in expenditure. The report is titled Northern Ireland Subvention, Possible Unification of Effects, and comes from the Institute of International and European Affairs. Now, if that isn't a good way to get everybody in Ireland going, fuck that.
Can I just say, great survey name.
Yeah, really, yeah,
you know what you're getting.
Snappy.
You know what you're getting with that survey name. Straight in.
No crack.
Yeah, absolutely no crack. But you're right, though. It's a lot of cuds.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot. It could cost... it could cost...
It could cost that. Yeah, yeah. That's why, honestly, you got to look at the very fine details in all of these studies and everything that you're watching in the news and stuff. In particular, anything that I say. But... it's an interesting one because the thing that shocks me is I have a relationship with Northern Ireland. Now, people won't, they will think this is mental, but most of the people, I grew up in my childhood in Cork mostly and then a little bit in Dublin, but people's knowledge of what is going on in Northern Ireland is amazing because a lot of people in what the Northerners would call the South or the Republic have no clue of the cultures that are going on up in Northern Ireland yet. Simultaneously, they'll go, yeah, we want United Ireland, give us our country back, kind of a vibe. But I think I don't know how you feel about it. My grandparents retired to the north. My grandfather was originally from there. It's a very different culture. It's not a quick, easy switch were it to happen.
No, it's definitely an easy switch. And I do think you're right with how people talk about it. From I have geographic and chronological distance.
Yeah.
From, you know, our age, we've grown up in a very different world than our immediate, like, older brothers even would have grown up.
Definitely.
And that's the timeline that we're working with.
I actually think that even affects within my family, my siblings and I. My sister is 5 years younger. That 5 years is significant, because I remember when the Good Friday Agreement came in, but she was five when it came in. So then she's known. So I remember a little bit of the troubles. Yeah. She doesn't.
Yeah, I remember not to get too in the weeds of it. I remember the Oma bombing.
Yes,
I remember watching that kind of unfold on the news, and that being really
that's
upsetting.
Right, yeah.
I can still picture myself seeing that stuff unfold. But even at that, it is a distance.
Yeah.
It is a distance from you. Like it is your own land. But yeah, so yeah, I do think our perspective on it's not that it's not relevant. It's just so distant from it that I'm always very cautious in how much I lean into a conversation, because I just don't understand so much of what's happening. And I'm also uncomfortable with some of the dialogue on it, like in that we're talking about, like, it's a piece of land. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, it's jobs, it's lives, it's children,
totally.
it's like communities. It's an awful lot.
It's
more
your health service, completely different health service. Yeah. Like, you've got I think it is struggling up there at the minute, but like, they have free healthcare up there. We don't have that. You know, little tiny things like that are massively important. But culturally, we're very, very different. Like, there is cultural differences between Galway and Dublin, for example, or Limerick and Cork, or what have you. But the cultural differences between certain parts of the north, and let's be honest about it, unionism, which is the culture in the north where they want to remain part of the union, is quite it's strong up there. There's a strong cohort to it there. And I remember Patrick Keelty, who was a Northern Irish presenter of the Late Late Chat Show, but he was on Tommy Tiernan's chat show a couple of years ago. And I remember him saying, do you remember this? Yeah. He was saying, if you want a united Ireland, because he's from a Republican family, if you want a united Ireland, or nationalist family, if you want a united Ireland, you're going to have to accept unionism as part of your culture.
Yeah.
And I remember the studio just going completely dead. Tommy didn't even respond to it. And he was like, so have you any work coming up? Because we're never going to accept people who identify with the Union Jack in this country, and they want Union Jacks flying out their windows and all that kind of stuff, because imagine that happening in Dublin.
And I think that's the point that Patrick Keelty made on that.
Yeah.
And probably he was saying, like, you know, flip the other things around, like a new up the rat chant in a changing room.
Yeah.
Flip that around.
Yes.
And being you hearing
exactly
the equivalent on your side, and how that would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the thing, that I don't see much of that dialogue. You also see a lot of talk about that there'll be a referendum and stuff. But then what?
Yeah.
We'll vote that in. Cool. And as much as I'm not a huge fan of
surveys and studies,
but at least it goes some way to saying what the world will be like after.
Yeah,
like, it's not just as simple as we vote. Grand, should that lovely?
Yeah, yeah.
Another job done. It's like that, it's only barely started. If that was
Like Northern Ireland costs London a lot of money.
Yeah,
like it's not generating necessarily a huge amount. And I find it, especially for, like, I grew up. We get some certain, like, I would call them immature political ideologies, where it's like, give us our country back, do you know what I mean? And tricolours and saying ooh-ah up the ra and all that kind of stuff. But now it's coming down to the brass tacks of it. It's like, well, you're going to have to pay more in tax, and our dole money might go down, for example, if we ever end up with the dole, or, you know, all the benefits that it's going to cost us. All of the people are like, oh, fuck, they can keep it now. They can keep it now, thank you very much, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they ruined it, you know, and whatever like that.
And
so I find it, like, it's a very funny, because I do, look, I don't know if those numbers are real, but I always, when I was aware of the conversation going on about a united Ireland, I was like, it ain't going to be easy. It's going to...
Yeah, and then there's another one as well, that when you hear people talking sometimes about the United Ireland, it's like it's this valiant thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people of the North may deserve it, and that sort of a dialogue. But, like, to be ruled by Dublin, we don't like the leadership in Dublin.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, why is it a fucking reward for them now to be governed? Like, you can't spend a day without hearing how crap the government are here. Get them involved as well. Let's get everyone involved. Listen to these agents.
I do find that the hard sell to people in the north. We're going to have to put the arm around and welcome them in. It's like, okay, are we going to lie, or are we going to be honest about the fact, like, it's going to cost you guys as well, and you don't have free healthcare and all that kind of a stuff. And Sainsbury's. Goodbye, Sainsbury's.
Oh, yeah,
but that kind of stuff. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And which Tato would persevere?
They do chippers good up there.
Do they? Yeah. Haven't had a chipper up there.
Oh, they have like, they have mad stuff in chippers.
Like what?
It's definitely, with the Scottish Presbyterian influence, they definitely have like deep fried lots of different things, not just the Mars bar, that can be the cliche, but like they do the gravy and cheese chips and all that, which they do a bit more here.
Yeah.
But it's not the standard. It's kind of like coming around here.
Yeah.
I had a cheesy chips, man, up in Portaferry, which is at the bottom of the Hook. You know the Hook that is up in Northern Ireland? Yeah. Right at the bottom of the Hook. And yeah, man, like I could have had a heart attack with the amount of mayonnaise that was in it. But it was amazing.
But that's what you're going to the shippers for.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not going there because you have a standard desk at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
But yeah, culturally, I think there's a long way to go. And I think we're going to have to show interest in their culture if we're like, what's amazing is we live in a country now in Ireland where 20, 30 years ago, there weren't that many other cultures living here.
Yeah.
Now there is.
Yeah.
So you've married outside of your
Polish,
culture.
Yeah.
Polish-ish. Poland. Yeah. But, you know, now we're more accepting of that. So it's like, if we can't accept unionism, it's a bit ridiculous because, like, you know, we've got Brazilians, we've got Polish, we've got, you know, every, like, so many different cultures around the place.
Yeah. And that's interesting. This is going to be half.
Let them open their chippers here. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, let them open it. That should be there's your camping. Get that in a bus.
How do you guys feel about the United Ireland? Do you actually think about it? Or do you give a shit about it? I think that's the number one feeling that everyone has about it. And when I talk to nationalists in Northern Ireland, that's the overriding feeling that they have. No one gives a shit. No one cares about us.
Well, grand is the enemy of progress, as they say.
Is it?
Well, I made that up. Perfection is the enemy of progress, I think, is a quote. But I think an Irish version of that is grand is the enemy of progress.
That's true.
Like, we're grand. Just leave it be.
Yeah,
and I think that seems to be...
Yes, it's true. That's very true.
Pop that on the other side of the bus.
I hope you all have a grand whatever day this comes out. And Keith Fox, thank you so much, man. We'll have you back. We'll be talking about all sorts of bits and bobs. Get in touch with Keith or follow him. Follow his stand-up comedy, One Keith Fox. And send us your messages, your comments, whatever it is. And follow me at the Stephen Mullen. Peace and love.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.